You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. No time to mess around today. Good morning to you on a Friday. Yeah, boom. What's that all about? What's going on? Yeah. Anyway, I want to play a few things. So, without further ado, I need to begin the program. The program begins on Friday with Whitney Houston performing the national anthem. So, good morning to you. So the program's officially underway, and we'll save the rest for later. All right, I want to play a little clip for you. Let me just tell you what we're going to do today. Tim Lynch, Jeff Kinney are going to join me here in a few minutes, and we're gonna round table a little bit. And first of all, what is the issue, right? What is the issue here with Iran? Two, we're going to talk a little bit about our history. We recorded this last night. And then what's next? Okay, so we all have different opinions about it. So you'll get to hear us beat this thing up. So anyhow, you'll hear that momentarily. But as I was sitting here this morning, one of my favorite people to listen to on all of news, I have two favorites. One is Charles Krauthammer. Who passed away, I enjoyed incredibly. I enjoy Brett Baer as a news guy. I think he actually does the news, which is unique among people that do TV news. And then, yeah, think about this. wherever you, when you travel the world, what news network is on that represents the American voice around the world? It tends to be CNN, right? Think about that. That's how the world sees the United States. Anyhow, so we're going to talk about what the issue is, right? I think it's helpful that we talk about our relationship with Iran, our historical relationship with Iran. And so we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. And then what would we do? Were we in a position to, were we in the president position of the President of the United States? And again, I think, so what would we do relative to winning, right, this issue, right? So you got to define the issue. How do we win? Okay. And again, be mindful. We've talked on this show about how the United States sucks at ultimately achieving its strategic ends because we get lost along the way. So, anyway, so you'll hear that. But before I want, so you'll hear that. That's coming up. But I as I was sitting here listening, to the news this morning, one of my favorite guys is a guy named Charles Payne. He's a Fox Business guy. He's a big black guy. And so Charles Payne comes on a few minutes ago, and I was I told you about some audio issues I was working out. So I was checking the levels from my TV into the mixer, and I was recording. Not that I couldn't have recorded, rewound it and recorded, since it's playing on YouTube TV. But I recorded it. So I want you to listen to Charles Payne talking about how much our nation's changed relative to oil and our energy independence, and how the events of the last 48 hours have not sent the nation into a tailspin, the markets into a tailspin. And so I thought comments very interesting. So here's Charles Payne and talking about the markets, and this happened, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes ago. All right.
Let's take a look at markets this morning, finishing off a big week for the Dow.
So this is Fox News, whatever, Bill Hemmer, and I am sorry, I don't remember the woman's name.
He points this morning, not a huge gain, but still adding to what we've seen this week, the S&P 500 hitting a record high yesterday. That's a broader snapshot of the market. Charles Payne, you hear him now, host of Making Money on the Fox Business Network. What a week it's been. What a month it has been.
It has been an amazing month. This is, you know, so funny because May was such a disastrous month. June, this is going to be one of the best Junes on record right now. If it keeps going like this, it'll be one for the record books, perhaps in the top five, top three. And it just, you know, the moral of the story is, you know, don't try to time the market, right? But it's so crazy because the things that were holding us back, those headwinds I've talked about, become a potential tailwinds. And there's a sort of sigh of relief, and maybe we'll start focusing on other things like corporate profits and earnings ratios and things that Wall Street typically would prefer to focus on.
You had a good week, didn't you?
I really did.
Hi, Omar. With regard to Iran and oil, what are you seeing out there as you watch that
story? Yeah, I mean, isn't that an amazing story that, Sandra, you know, you remember, you might be too young, but you're an oil historian. when there was a time when, if this would happen in the last 48 hours happened, oil prices would have an extra $20, and they used to call that the premium, the geopolitical premium. We could be at $120 a barrel. $20 to $30 of that would be just because of the cautious nature of it. But because we are energy independent right now, we do not, that oil that's going through the Strait of Hormuz is not coming here. We don't need that. It's absolutely amazing. And because oil's at $120 a barrel, the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, is not down 500 points. People need to understand, this puts into focus just how amazing our energy revolution has
been. That's really interesting, but at least that fear could play out in the stock market, Charles. We didn't even really see that yesterday.
No, we didn't. Now, here was the most amazing thing about yesterday's session, though. So the news we knew about the U.S. Navy drone being shot down, we knew that before the open. So we opened like gangbusters. I mean, we're really, immediately, the S&P 500 is at an all-time high. Senator Lindsey Graham puts out this real tough, hawkish tweet. right around 10 o'clock, 10:20. Follow me. Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 26,753. We start to slip and slip. We were on the verge of losing the entire rally.
But don't forget, the president sent out a tweet that Iran made a big mistake.
Yeah, the big mistake wasn't the one that spooked the market. If you look at the timing of those tweets, it was the hawkish nature of Lindsey Graham, who is really good friends with President Trump. You know, the idea that they're going to pay, you got to hit these thugs. That's when the selling picked up a lot of momentum to the downside.
Yes, we were watching it.
And then, guess what? 12:20, we get to see President Trump, and what? He shows a temperament that, by the way, I think a lot of people, certainly in the media, did not describe. They sort of described President Trump, despite his own personal record, as being a hawk. He came out, his temperament was amazing. We turned around. We were on the cusp of giving it all away. It reminded me of election night. If you remember when the election tallies were coming in, the futures had the market opening down 900 points. When did it turn? When President Trump gave his acceptance, you know, because talk, he said
4 a.m.
It was very, very, it was presidential, for lack of another word. And the markets turned around.
One last thought here on tariffs. Andy Pleasure's got a piece at our website right now, foxnews.com. He writes, Trump tariffs incredibly useful in advancing our national security, then goes on to explain why. He's using the tariffs as a tool.
It's a weapon.
Is that a good long-term strategy, do you think?
All right, before he answers that part of it, you know, war is politics by other means, right? War is a nation attempting, right, to achieve its own strategic goals as a nation by using military operation, right? So the goal in most diplomacy, in the way most nations conduct business, is not to get there, right? A tool, right, is using economics, okay? Sitting down to negotiate, and then when you can't reach some agreement, you begin to use economic sanctions, which are a legitimate tool. Iran last week held a press conference. I don't know who it was, whether it was a president. And I don't even know what that dude's name is. Khomeini. I mean, it's like every one of them's named Khomeini, right? Except the dude that said they don't have any gay people in Iran. This phenomenon, I don't know what you're talking about. It is not in Iran. Do you remember that? And everybody in New York laughed at his ass? Yeah, I'll play that in a second. But anyway, they came out and said, this American economic aggression will not stand with us. So what does that mean? Do you want to go to war? Right? We haven't fired a shot at you. We haven't fired a shot at you. And remember, Jeff's going to recount here, but, I mean, Iran's long history of killing Americans, either by proxy or directly, and then acting like they don't know what's going on. So Iran's not, they're not having it, okay? Economic tools, economic sanctions, right? Tariffs, they're all legitimate tools in diplomacy short of going to war. And so to me, it's like, you know, tariffs, I'm for free trade and all this. Listen to this, because what he says after this and this piece, this opinion piece that I have yet to look at, is absolutely spot on in terms of nations do these things when they're trying to achieve their goals, and ours are good and right. It's important that the Chinese come to the table of nations and allow American companies that employ people, that provide health care, that provide retirement plans, to sell into China. That American producers have the same access to the Chinese market that China has to the United States. And that is simply not the case. It's important to America's national security, America's national interest, America's working class, that happen. And when it doesn't happen, and presidents come and go, and they come and go, and they come and go, you know, at some point, somebody should right the ship. Now, Donald Trump, for whatever reason, he's that guy. Okay, so I want you to listen to this, because I think it's, you know, it's very good.
It's a weapon that you hope you don't have to use, just like we're hoping we don't have to retaliate with, you know, Iran. It's a weapon, though, that it was the only weapon. There are other things that could have been done. Listen, I love what Andy has to say in terms of this was not, the relationship we've had was not free trade. He says it's really not free trade if one party is cheating. It's not free or fair. He talked about the national security implications of this also. In the final line of his piece, under Trump, the Republican Party remains a party of free trade. He wants people to know, listen, we want free trade. We would like a tariff-free world. But let's not forget, China built its fortunes on double-digit tariffs.
Tariff-free world.
Right.
It's a good point.
Thank you, Charles.
Oh,
I see you.
Great weekend, guys.
What? China built all it has on tariffs? Wait, where is that in the narrative of Orrin Hatch saying, yeah, President Trump worries me because I'm a free trader? No, you're not. If you were a free trader, Orrin, who's a big-time conservative, right? Open markets, free trade, all these shithead Republicans who say that stuff in public, and then the Chinese are just laying a pipe to the side of our head and laughing as they steal our technology. They keep American products made by American workers out of their country. Why? Why, why, why? It's just a fucking joke. Now that I have that out of my system. Okay, so you've heard that. So I'm going to sit back here for a second, and you're going to hear the Lynch-Kenny event. Let's see. Where did I stick that thing? I stuck it someplace where I wouldn't forget it, and now I can't find it. This is awesome. This is awesome when I do stuff like this. Alright? Hold on, I'll find it. I was so ready for this, too. Hold on. 2019. Here it is. All right, now. So last night, yesterday afternoon, I called, or I didn't summon, I texted the two geniuses, and I said, hey, I want you to come on, and now that the drone's been done and things are moving, let's talk about the issue, blah, 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 blah. So that's what you're gonna hear right now. So, with that all being said, this is Tim and Jeff, and we recorded this last night.
Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio.
Hi, Mike.
On your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
What a cool network, man. You two covering Jimi Hendrix. The Watchtower. I think it's going to be the bumper for that segment. All right, this is kind of a special edition, a Friday edition of the Lynch and Kenny event. And so they join us both, Tim from Texas and Jeff from Southern California. Tim, how you doing?
Just fine, Mac. Thanks.
You bet. Jeff, how you doing?
Good, Mac. Hope you are, too.
I'm all right. I just got my Father's Day present. So, I'm fired up about it. Let's see. The reason I wanted to have you on this morning is to use your expertise to talk about what's going on in the wake of Iran downing one of our global hawks. But I want to add a little structure to it. The first thing I want to talk about is what's the issue here, right? Why is this going on? Then I want to talk about a historical context, and then three, what our thoughts on individually on the way ahead. So Timmy, I was listening to the interview we did yesterday, and when we talked about the issue, you know, what's the issue here? You started talking about the effectiveness of the obvious effectiveness of the sanctions. So pick up on that point. People that didn't hear the interview yesterday, you can go back and listen to it. But Timmy, talk about your thoughts on the sanctions, their effectiveness, and what exactly is going on here.
Okay, the point I was making yesterday, and also why I set up how they went about setting those mines with an attempt to basically stage a rescue operation, is that the sanctions are hurting them, and they're looking for ways with which they can portray themselves as a victim to a very aggressive bad orange man, and everybody knows he's bad, and try to drive a wedge and get some of our European folks who are desperately want to open trade back up for their benefit to trade with them. So they have this mine attack, and then they took out an RQ-4N BAMS-D surveillance drone out of international waters. And this is important. This surveillance drone that they hit came out of Paxton. It was a proof of concept for their brand new MQ-4C Triton, which is set to deploy for the first time this summer out in Guam. So this was a
okay. Hold on. Let me. First of all, it's international airspace, not international waters, right? So it's operating international airspace.
But it was operating low because this was a demonstrator. It had a lot of unique characteristics. So unlike a regular, it wasn't at 65,000 feet. It was probably down very, very low when they were able to take that thing out.
Okay.
With the
Sam 11. You said launched out of Paxton. Explain that.
Paxton Air Base is a place where they do a lot of naval experimental testing of guns, of aircrafts, and stuff like that. And so Paxton was a place where they took, four decommissioned of the very first RQ-4As and made them into these proof of concept demonstration models, which they really don't have a use for. The Triton squadron is out of Point Mugu in California. They're on the other side of the country. So what was interesting is that in these days, you're able to, on open source, find things like aircraft spots. And this guy posted on Twitter the entire track of the aircraft in question, right up until it was shot down. It's amazing because the thing, of course, has a transponder and was beeping its way across from Paxton River to the UAE where it launched out. But the bottom line is it's a provocation. They say it was not in their airspace. We maintain it was in an international airspace. And it's just another ratchet up in a game of chicken. And this is not the first time. And I turn it over to Jeff.
All right. Well, hold on. Yeah. Let's Jeff, your thoughts on. So the issue, Tim kind of went off a little bit of deep dive on the reconnaissance platform itself. But make no mistake about the issue here. And that is the effectiveness of the sanctions. Jeff, any thoughts?
I agree with that 100%. I mean, they're trying to do what they always do. From the time they were filming those fake demonstrations outside the U.S. Embassy in 79, 80, up through all the other stuff they've done, these guys, when they feel like they're getting the squeeze is being put to them, they do kabuki theater, and that's what this is. And they want to, cause unreasoned, they want to cause dissidents in the U.S. government, i.e. people who are against, the president, to whip up the timid base to say the president's rash misjudgments are causing us problems because it's hurting them. The original thing you said is absolutely right. Sanctions are hurting them. They thought they had prepared themselves for the largesse that was granted to them by the Obama administration, and when Trump with his guys like Bolton and especially Pompeo come in there and they're just ratcheting the screws down, and they're not being tactful, they're not being rude, but they're just not taking their shit, and so they're doing this, and I think this type of shit will continue until they until it either doesn't work for them or they ratchet it up. Because there's factions within that Iranian government. There's religious factions from the conservative mullahs. There's some of the younger folks who are radicalized, who were working over there with the Hezbollah and so forth. And then there's the moderates, which I think is a mass of the Iranian electorate. Well, there's no electorate really, not actually. But the mass people are like, hey, right. We just want to be able to have a decent life. So it's like, it's a poker game, and they're raising the ante now. I think they'll do it again, because I don't see where if I was the president or I was the National Command Authority, I go, this is a sign that this stuff works. So we can't stop it, and they're going to say, well, we're going to make you hurt a little bit. And the thing with the Americans is because of the prior fear we've always had of our media or the media. We've exacerbated things that have happened that really weren't that bad. Like, for instance, It's a horrible tragedy. We lost 19 Rangers and Delta guys.
Well, hold on. I don't want to get off either.
I'm just saying. We folded up. We left. Whereas I don't think this guy is going to do that. But I think they may try to get a little bit more dirty the next time, like that.
All right. Obviously, I think Timmy's right, and it is the Kabuki Theater, and they've done it probably as well, maybe better than anybody, because they've done this stuff for decades, and they've never paid a great price for it. And so, to me, we hear sanctions, and people don't really realize what it can do to a nation. But again, what got the attention of the Koreans was the United States talking about sanctions and to include possibly blockading, you know. And for instance, you see a lot of Coast Guard activity in the Western Pacific now. Why is that? Well, there's certain things the Navy can't do, right, in terms of boarding ships and things like that, but the Coast Guard can. So these things all don't go unnoticed by the people that, you know, that we compete with. And so, to me, they sat down and they took a hard look at where these sanctions are going to send them and the lack of any relief coming from Europe, which they expect. And so what this made for TV event is, and make no mistake, that's what it's made for, because they've learned the American center of gravity is right through that TV. And, you know, one of the things that I think Tim said yesterday, I think, or it might have been you, Jeff, was that, you know, the world comes, I mean, imagine this, the world comes, the United States comes to the world via CNN, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, I think any moderate in this country understands that CNN is like a far left news organization in this country. And if you live in, you know, Amsterdam and you're someplace and CNN is on, I mean, your portrait of America is that America is being held hostage, you know, by this president. And if the country can just get rid of him, it'll be a completely new day and a different thing. So to me, the sanctions must be working. Looking at what they're doing, this is a made-for-TV event designed to brush up against it and really elicit an American response that might be ill-thought and gives the Europeans the intellectual, you know, grounds to say, you know, once again, the Americans have overreacted, they're making the situation worse, and we're going to try to cool this out, but we have to address Iran's, you know, grievance. And so we're going to do this. It gives them the top cover to do that. So, but before we talk about, you know, recommendations and our thoughts on the way the country should move ahead on it, I want to kind of do some historical building, because Jeff said some stuff yesterday about the history of the United States and Iran. And I think it's important here because that has to be a consideration in all this. So Jeff, you know, give us a little history of all this.
Okay, well, during the late 70s, the support in the U.S. for the Shah waned when we got President Carter. And he did not approve of the Shah had a reputation for being suppressive, which basically all governments in the Middle East and Central Asia had. There's no Jeffersonian democracies except for Israel.
Had?
So, yes.
Have?
So,
maybe have, too. To this day, right?
Yeah,
strong man runs it.
So the United States withdrew all support of the Shah, and there was a revolution that occurred in 1979, and the Muslim fundamentalists took over. There's a bunch of old mullahs basically telling a bunch of young firebrands what to do. One of the things they did was seize the U.S. embassy, held the 50 some of the diplomats there hostage for 444 days, and basically made themselves a enemy of the United States. Gave up the hostages the day Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. But throughout the 80s, and throughout President Reagan's term, and throughout President Bush's term, and throughout President Clinton's term, they were a constant inciter of proxy war against America. And they, in the middle of all that, they were invaded by Iraq, who thought that the revolution, the Shah was actually the big guy on the block as far as military hardware and conventional competence of his armed forces. They were undermined from within, so all that collapsed. So Saddam invaded them. 8-year war that was very much like World War One in terms of massive casualties and so forth. And basically every hardship that the Iranians had between 1979, actually between 1950s and up until, you know, the 21st century, they blamed on the United States. And so the bad blood between the element, the religious conservative element that runs Iran, and their younger acolytes, guys like who was the last guy before this prime minister, short guy with a beard. Anyway, guys like that, they're just implacable against us. As a matter of fact, they have a heart. I can't see where anyone who within the Iranian stratosphere was to say anything conciliatory or to recommend conciliation in the United States. I think the guy's life would be in danger. So that's where we're at with them.
Talk about the event. So fundamentalists take over the country in 79.
Right.
The next major event is 1983 in Beirut.
Well, for us, absolutely.
Right.
Well, they right away started beefing up. There's already a civil war in Lebanon that was going on before, way before the revolution happened, or even was a significant event in Iran. That war in Lebanon basically started like 74, 75, and then it just kept getting worse and worse. But One of the players in it was the Shia minority. You know, it's a big minority, but it is a minority. The Shia people who lived in Lebanon. And so the Iranians, because they're Shia, had a kinship with them, they beefed them up. The Quds Force, a lot of members of the Republican Guard who went over and actually were slinging lead with our guys in Beirut, like when Timmy was over there, were no shit flat-out Iranians. The guy who engineered the bombing of the Marine barracks in 1983 and probably the embassy earlier in 1983 was a no kidding Iranian Quds Force guy. And so they did that. And as soon as, President Reagan said, hey, the juice isn't worth the squeeze with Beirut. There's nothing we can gain here. He pulled everybody out in 84. Immediately, Iranian-backed people were grabbing hostages. Reporter here, diplomat there, CIA station chief who they tortured to death, and they just kept on doing it, up until, the end of the 80s. And it's just been a tit for tat ever since. Kind of a shadows war most of the time.
And so,
terrorist attack will happen that they'll, the Hezbollah, which really is them, will claim credit for, that's where we've been at.
So really,
they were never eclipsed until 2001, until Al Qaeda did,
Till 9/11. And so what they got good at is they use conflicts that we're involved in as cover to then launch some type of attack against us. And,
yes.
And so it never comes from Iran. It's always by proxy. And so we've done this kabuki dance with them in that it is their proxies and nothing ever happens to Iran. And
right.
they have created an art, and so Timmy, hop in here, your thoughts as well. But they've created that as an art form in terms of huge blow to the United States. Whether we talk about the barracks or some of the other things they've done, Khobar Towers, things they've done, yet they never pay a price. Timmy, your thoughts.
Well, on April 14th, they hit robbers hit a mine in the Strait of Hormuz, same damn area we're talking about now. And 4 days later, we sank half their navy. And I think it was a 4 hours of air ops. So there is one time that we've hit them back. Israel's hit them back on several occasions themselves to include engineering that sex tent virus, which was a devastating attack.
Yes, that was a big one. That was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. And I might add, Joe Biden was running a suck about that thing, mentioned that virus, mentioned how it worked, and I do believe that Iran and China, that it led to the unraveling of all the CIA spy networks. That's a whole different story. But my point being that we've hit them before, and that has worked. I will say, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I will say, I don't think we should hit them right now.
So to me, that's the key part of this is they have gotten so good at this game, right? And there'll be odd times when they overplay the hand, and they're betting that the nation they're overplaying the hand against, you know, will go ahead and show restraint, and then they screwed it up, which is what they do with the Israelis. And so that's a component of this, is that Iran played and they were fighting against us in Iraq, right? They were supplying anybody who would use them with their penetrators for IEDs that were devastating and killed a lot of people. And so they've been constantly at war with the United States by other means and by proxies, and they do it in Syria. So knowing a bit about the history, right, and knowing that the sanctions are hurting, Jeff, your thoughts on the way forward? How, if you were the president, how would you go forward, given those two, the context of all of this?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that I would do is I would launch more drones, but they wouldn't be, you know, these, I think it's, what is it, that R4A drones, tremendously expensive. Yeah, I mean, I would get them to do it and then, you know, have the equivalent of when the ES-6Bs used to shoot the HARM missile at shit that, you know what I'm saying, they took out. I would have them do that. That's one thing.
Okay, hold on. So you'd have drone. You'd have more.
I would engineer a situation where they, you know, I basically put bait out there, and then when they took it, whack them.
Hammer them.
Yeah, and
okay. Let me ask you a question about all of this. Okay, what are our vulnerabilities over there in terms of we have ships in the region, we have obviously aircraft in the region. Drones aren't a problem, and we have personnel in the region. We've already ramped up when we talked yesterday about the force preservation, protecting our own people so nobody gets kidnapped, nobody gets yoked up and then put on TV in Iraq, in Iran, and all that shit. So that's a piece that we're not going to talk about today. How about protecting our ships, and the first thing in protecting us, and then what do you do? And then what do you do economically or with our allies? Address those three pieces, if you would.
I think that the best defense is to fuck with them. So, I mean, I'm talking like navigationally, I'm talking, they put mines in. What's to stop us from putting mines in? I mean, the mine technology now, so it's not a weapon that hits just anybody. It goes after who you want. And even if we don't actually put mines in, we can make them think that we're putting mines in. We can fuck with these guys big time. I mean, we can do shit to them, you know, electronically and using deception and stuff like that that makes them think we're doing a lot more than we are in one area and then actually be doing something for real in another one. I mean, we're talking about undersea drones now that we can get. I mean, let's face it, you know, not to go back in history, but a lot of the strength of Reagan's Star Wars thing was the fact that he might be able to make it so that any kind of ballistic missiles against us would be rendered useless. The fear of that alone, you know, is worth, you know, 10 or 15 divisions, for Christ's sake.
Okay, so we
could mess with them like they're messing with us.
Okay, so, so what do you do with the sanctions and what do you do with our ally?
We keep the sanctions going. And, you know, we tell the allies, hey, look, the reason why this is happening is because they work. And I think a lot of our allies, like the Germans, for instance, are going to say, we don't care if they work. We just want to get along. We don't mind, you know, them being dominant here or there. You know, we just want to win our next election. That's why, you know, I mean, basically what Europe, our allies, I think who you're talking about there, you're not talking about Israel, because they're 100% with us when it comes to Iran.
Right.
You're talking about our allies in Europe. And they're going to say, look, you know, we just want to have peace. And they'll, even you know, truthfully, they'll say that. They're doing the same type of thing the Democrats are trying to do over here with bringing in all these migrants. They're trying to, they're assuming that these migrants are going to vote for them. And so I think they're distracted by that, you know, and they're timid. You got a couple allies you can count on. Israel's one. I guess the next best one would be England, but that's a way, that's way down the line as far as, you know, dependent on.
Right.
You know, on the other hand, I have to say, some of the forces moving into the Gulf are British. You know, I mean, so maybe I'm wrong on the level of their commitment, but that's why I think you handle that. Say, as usual, we got to go it alone. We got some good allies, but they don't have very much power. I mean, we got the Poles. I think we'd do anything we wanted. We got the Hungarians, you know, who would line up with us, you know, who would help. But what can they do at this point?
Right.
You know.
Right. All right, Tim, your thoughts on your okay. thoughts on. Go ahead.
I like Jeff's thought about doing one thing and using deception and whatnot, but I know that we'll never do that. And thus, I would argue the exact opposite. I think the president should pull the ships out of there and say, I'm being provoked. The Iranians are, I mean, actual talk reality. The Iranians are trying to provoke us so he can drive a wedge and try to get out of these sanctions. I'm not going to be provoked, so I'm withdrawing, and I'm putting the whole 7th Fleet on limbo into Singapore and Australia because they're great places. And now we can start doing some diplomacy on things that are much bigger than friggin' Iran, because fuck them. Who cares what the hell they're doing? We don't need the oil. We need China to start playing ball, and there's a lot of pressure we can start putting on people. And don't put it past Trump to point out in the press, hey, you know, Mr. Premier, if you would pressure your Hollywood buddies to let us build some terminals in Long Beach, we can export liquid petroleum to you all day long. We've got more than anybody else in the world. You could actually turn this into a political win where people are saying to you, hey, would you please come sort this out for us? And now we're being invited back in, and we can go in there and tune those assholes up as only we can do. But I wouldn't do it until you got some concessions from those same allies that are stabbing you in the back, that are bad mouthing you whenever you go over to Europe or whatnot, until they are begging us, hey, would you guys go back in there because nobody else can do it? And that's just a fact.
That's pretty good, man. But I have to tell you, I don't know if we got the dexterity, you know, agency to agency to do that. I wish we did. I hope we do, you know, but.
I don't dislike the idea, because truth be told, what 60% of the petroleum that comes out of the Gulf goes to Asia.
Yeah.
Right. And so, we don't even want your ships. We need your government though to stand up and say, we completely support what the Americans are doing. We believe the Iranians are being disingenuous, and we need the Persian Gulf open. And we support that. We need you, as Jeff said, to line up with them. I think that I would give the Iranians some room, because we all know this is made for TV theater. So what I would send over there were things that I know they can't knock out of the sky. So, because I want to put them in timeout. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to commence cyber operations against them, and I'm going to fuck with their country, and I want them to know that I'm fucking with their country, and I want them to know that we can shut their shit off, and we can do it, and then we'll do the same thing that they do. We'll say we have no idea what they're talking about, and I would do that. In order so that there is no video that they could put on TV. So in this made-for-TV event, I deny them through force protection, through putting my better stuff out there, flying at 60,000 feet, right, and putting the A things in place, making sure my Navy gives them enough room, and we continue to monitor them, and then conduct cyber operations, and then say publicly that I want to continue. You know, I would like to sit down and create a new agreement that keeps Iran from heading in this direction. Because make no mistake about it, if they go down this road, it won't be us that yokes their ass up. It will be the Israelis. And we'll all stand there and watch, and then we will be in support of that shooting event. So to me, that's what, to go back to Tim's original point, the sanctions obviously are causing them pain. That's why we're doing this made-for-TV event. Don't do what they want you to do, which is to give them the videotape, right? And let me tell you, there's a reason. If you want to sink something with a Lipit mine, right? Let me tell you where you don't place a Lipit mine.
You don't in the shipping channel.
Well, you don't place it on the side of the hole, 20 feet above the water line.
Right.
The reason you do that is for videotape. So somebody can see it. So the whole thing is choreographed to the American center of gravity, which is our televisions, our phones, and everything we consume news on. And so to me, you have to fence every piece of that off and show yourself to be acting with restraint, right? Keep our European allies informed and say, look, we need to hang together because going down a road that we've gone down with the North Koreans, with the Iranians, is not going to be in anybody's interest. Because imagine if Japan was Israel. Japan would have already attacked North Korea if Japan was Israel, and they started getting intercontinental ballistic missiles fired over their nation.
Yeah.
And so we don't need that. We need you. We need all to hang together. We will act with restraint. And we will act in conjunction with you, but this is the plan. So, I'm really curious to see what we do because I think that, you know, both you guys, the historical context and Jeff, your comment about the asymmetrical piece, they are great at that. And so to me, you know, force protection, huge. And our antennas up all the time and up 360 degrees. You know, 24/7, you've got to stay on it because if you don't, they will either yoke hostages, drop a building, do something that we don't expect, and then give them room and don't give them what they want. So, anyway.
You know, there was something I used to do in the 80s, late 70s into the 80s, called Reforger, where we would bring huge forces, I mean relatively huge forces, from the United States into Germany. And we do it, you know, a couple times a year, right. It always fucking pissed the Russians off. You know, pissed the Soviets off. Because it was showed how we could, and actually, the whole idea of the operation we did in Egypt, Bright Star, that was the same type of thing in the Middle East. Right. And that Bright Star started as cover for the Iranian rescue attempt in 1980. But then they kept it going because it was effective.
Right.
Put a bug in the Soviets' ass.
Well, and we did the same thing with Team Spirit on the Korean Peninsula, which was the time of the year when they thought that it would be most conducive for the North Koreans to invade, and so we staged an exercise. We put a shitload of people on the peninsula, and it was effective. But now, and that's why I wanted Jeff to talk about the context of all this.
So if we did that in Iraq, hey, we're gonna do like a reforger type thing with our buddies in Iraq because we already invested a lot in their freedom, and we're not gonna let it go now. We're gonna show it by this massive deployment exercise where 30,000 guys ends up there. Oh, and by the way, immediately after that, or maybe overlapping that, we do the same type of thing in the Herat province in Afghanistan. I'll tell you right now, the bad guys there, they're piddly ass. There's negligible in Iraq. And there's a little bit more, but they would not mess with those type of conventional forces coming in Afghanistan. You did that, and you kept doing that. Iran would be like, what the fuck, over?
But again, when you talk about, even when you talk, you hear the discussion about sanctions, we are so afraid in terms of, okay, well, what's next? Well, this constant discussion is, well, you don't understand, you know, what it would be with Iran is so much worse than it was with Iraq. You hear it's like we're afraid to go there. You know, if that's where Iran wants to go, and again, let's just assume for the sake of argument they're more capable than the Iraqis were. Okay, that means we'll suffer more casualties, and that's regrettable. Okay, but if that's where it goes, then that's where it goes. And at the end of the day, the same thing will happen to them. Their military will be destroyed. But we can't do American foreign policy afraid of countries like Iran.
Yep. Remember the old British saying, when all's for naught, remember that we have the Maxim gun and they have not. That's what they used to say in the 1800s. Well, when all's for naught, we have the hydrogen bomb and they have not. I mean, that's a little bit of an oversimplification, but I think what we're driving at is we need to send them the message that their existence is at our generosity.
Right. And we would do that, ramp that up, in my opinion, slowly, which gives our allies a place to stand on that platform. And then if anything subsequent happens, you know, look, here's the evidence of the mine. It's now gone through forensics, right? The lead came out of this, you know, of this quarry, of this part of the Iran, right? This is the forensics with that. Here's where, you know, here's the track of the drone. Here's the launch. Here's their communications. Here's the order to launch it. Blah, 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 blah. And these are our OGA people, and this is this. Okay, so it's not, right? So, I mean, put it together like that.
Trump can say on TV, I just learned another foreign word from one of my smart advisors, and the word is, when they're asking about how do you know the Iranians, qui bono, who benefits from this shit?
Right.
It's fucking Iranians, man. Who else would do that? Do you think the Emiratis are doing it? Well, you're doing it to yourself. We fucking fall over ourselves. We realize what a fuck story that was. We did the fucking Gulf of Tonkin. We haven't tried that since.
Right. Timmy, okay, final thoughts. Timmy?
Yeah, my final thoughts, I'd like to see us dial it down and like to see the Iranians start choking the oil, and I'd like to see us use that leverage and say, well, yeah, we'll help out if you'll help out. Victory to me would be going back and opening up the Strait of Hormuz with a Chinese frigate attached to the task force. That would be something. There you go.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm a dreamer.
Exactly.
I'm a dreamer.
Just became a dreamer. Jeff?
Yeah. I think so. I think I like that idea, like, of saying, hey, because that's Trump's whole thing is, you know, he never just says, fuck you. He says, fuck you, but if you come my way a little bit, I got something for you. I got a treat for you. He's, you know, he's all about that fucking deal. And the fucking Iranians are on their ass in so many different ways that, you know, and they're open kimono. They don't want to be, but because they have to have the technology to compete with us, that means they're accessible. We know what's going on in there. We know, you know, and so.
Hold on. Hold on. Explain open kimono.
Well, in order for them to compete with us the way they do, and they do good, those fucking everything from the IEDs to just, you know, their computer, you know, abilities, their cyber abilities and stuff is way beyond what we thought they were going to be. So because of that, their people are getting, we can get word to the masses of people even easier than we could with the Soviet Union with Radio Free Europe. So their biggest fear of the ruling people in Iran is their own people, even more than us. And that's where they're vulnerable.
And their people have access to the internet.
That's what I mean.
Kimono,
that's
right?
Exactly.
Okay. So, oh, it's just so everybody knows, the visual is a kimono that's opened wide. It's kind of a term used, I know, certainly in the Marine Corps. You'll hear, it'll be open kimono, blah, 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 which means everybody has access. So,
right,
so anyway. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think the United States, as much as I think, you know, watching that pisses us all off, the bottom line is that the Iranians have historically done much worse to us, and that our sanctions are working. And to me, I mean, I think it should be stay the course. Make sure that our allies acknowledge our restraint, and make sure that we keep our allies close to us. And again, because what I think is important is look, and I've said this before, and this is the we were talking about George Marshall a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, or however long ago it was, and it was peace with your allies through strength. And that's what works on the planet, is if you will do that. The problem is we still haven't cracked the code on it. But this is one case in which, look, right, unlike the North Korean thing, which is kind of an open-ended going sideways,
yeah.
This thing with Iran is not an open-ended event. Israel is sitting there watching, closer than we're watching, right,
oh, yeah.
Listening better than we're listening, and they're sitting there strumming their fingers like this, waiting. And if that line gets crossed, right, you're going to see Israeli F-35s, Israeli intercontinental ballistic missiles obliterate shit. And then we'll go from there. And so Europe, there should be a greater sense of urgency because of that. And so we will see.
Yeah, I wonder if there is. You never know what's really going on there.
Well, you know, I don't think, honestly, so, you know, I don't think the politicians think any further than the next election cycle and how.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, up in the Department of Defense, the Pompeo, those guys. I mean, are they shitting like we are?
Well, can you imagine if you're in the inner circle and you come back from those meetings and you're sitting around and you're like, well, what did she say? What did he say? You know?
Yeah.
And she looked at me and said, you know, we have, you know, $4 billion in trade that translates to this amount of GDP and this amount of industrial production. I'm not going to shut that off. That's what she said. So what do we say? Is there a way that we can import that? Can we facilitate that to replace it so it doesn't hurt them? Because that's the only reason, right? And so to me, that's how politicians look at it.
Yeah.
Right? So you can talk to me about truth, justice, and the American way.
No, I hear you.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's in the UK, France, or Germany's best interest.
They wouldn't be. The only people who don't do what's in their own people's interest is occasionally our politicians,
right.
Don't our
right.
Interest.
All right. First of all, man, thank you very much for the visit tonight. And as this thing unfolds, I always find the discussion interesting. And and we'll see if there's any Chinese frigates or destroyers operating with the United States Navy anytime soon. So I wrote a note of that.
It'd be like a reverse Sand Pebbles.
Exactly. It'll be reverse Sand Pebbles. And we're going to call Lynch... Timothy Mahan.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right.
He's Holman.
There you go. All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. All right. Now, I didn't realize at the time last night that the CIA was listening, and they took that to the president because that's essentially what the president did. He shut it off, and we will respond in some other fashion. So this morning, the headlines break that, but again, our dumbass discussion, based on open source reporting and what we know, those are the basic truths. And so it's, interesting to discuss it with them, given our history with Iran and how they have killed thousands of Americans. And they've never, ever, ever been held accountable. And so, in my opinion, the president's doing the right thing today. As the sun came up and saw the headlines, wonder if we would be conducting offensive operations. And he's done the right thing. And in terms of restraining the country. And hopefully that our allies will see that. And again, make no mistake about the point about Israel looming out there. Iran will not get an atomic weapon, and it will either come by negotiation or it will come by force, one of the two. And so we will see. My thanks to them for doing that last night. Top stories in Early Bird, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get the chef on. Number one, legal bombshell explodes on the SEAL war crimes trial. The corpsman, a petty officer by the name of Corey Scott, this is my opinion, after he was given immunity, right, he's decided to do what you'll see often happens in these kind of trials. Once you've granted immunity, you change your story. Okay, so he auditioned yesterday, in my opinion, a lie specifically crafted so that Chief Gallagher won't go to prison. And he did that because he knows that there's nothing anybody can do to them. Now, if you look at what Marines did in the last Haditha trial, Marines had all been granted immunity. And then they all changed their story, and there was nothing the prosecution could do. And so we will see if every witness in this case follows suit with Petty Officer Scott, right? If they do not, then I think for those with any kind of military experience, they will see through Petty Officer Scott's charade, right? And hopefully justice will be done. And so I just, again, the culture of the SEAL community is sick, right? And now you're seeing it play out. Just this week, right, this is the second story that has come out, right? The one we talked about yesterday or the day before is a SEAL who crosses paths with the wife of somebody that he helped murder at a party, doesn't give his name, doesn't identify himself, tries to take her up to her hotel room. For what reason? So they could be lovers? He did that to compromise her. That's the SEAL community. Honestly, in my opinion, it's an embarrassment to the nation. Second story, U.S. prep for strikes on Iran before approval was withdrawn. So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, is this just the narrative that the United States wants out there? You know, sit down and talk about it and say, okay, look, we can do this, we can do that, we can do this, we can do that. Okay? All right, so going forward, look, they know more than certainly we do. If it's apparent to us that military strikes are exactly what Iran wants, you know, to me, I don't think it ever got that far, and I think the military guys, you know, counseled that. I mean, Joe Dunford's the smartest guy in the room, in most rooms that he sits in, right? If it's apparent to us that military action is exactly what they want, right? It substantiates their case. So anyway, so I think the rest of this is the choreography that, okay, we're not going to do that, but here's the way we want this to roll out. We were prepared to do that. The president, in his wisdom, pulled us back, which substantiates the president's position, blah, 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 blah. Third story, Iran Revolutionary Guard shoots down U.S. drone amid tensions. That's a story from day before yesterday from the Associated Press. Number four, U.S. Senate votes to kill Saudi arms sales, defying Trump veto threat. So, again, that is leftover business from the Khashoggi event. Number five, Trump's July 4th celebration to feature military in a parade and demonstrations. And one is supposed to be a flyover of Air Force One. All right, we'll take a break. Again, my thanks to Tim and Jeff for doing that last night. And as events break, to me it's one of the things that I wanted All Marine Radio to be, is when these things happen, there's a place where people can go and listen and hear smart people talk about more than simply the veneer of the cosmetics. You know, and to include the trial, too, right? Oh, my God, you know, that guy, you know, said, look, there's a reason he said that. It's not the truth. It's not in any statement anybody's ever made. It's not in anything that anybody saw. He's making that up because he's got immunity. Marines have done that, right? And it's certainly not a shocker to anybody who's been around these kind of high-visibility trials. It's certainly great news, you know, news feed and high drama, right? But don't get it confused with the truth, boys and girls. Don't get it confused with the truth. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the chef. It is Friday, so we will do that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.